me. Because you know what? This has been the vision of this church, is less programming and more heart encounters, more life changers. Our vision is to equip the body to be the body. People are to come to learn how to worship, to study. You can read our mission and vision in the bulletin. To learn how to encounter His presence. And then become a disciple. And then make disciples. And as we make, we send out. Come, be equipped, and send out. This has been the heart of our vision as a church. And everything we do is to equip the body to do that. And Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. Well, a lot of us are overwhelmed by that. Really overwhelmed. But let's talk about for a second what Jesus didn't do. Because we have in our minds evangelism as what? Let's go give out tracts. Let's create special programs and events. Let's blitz with letters. Let's blitz with flyers. Let's do this and do that. What did Jesus do? First of all, He couldn't afford paper for tracts or flyers or letters or stamps. He also did not have a business committee that sat there and came up with a business plan on growth. You know what He did? He met with people. He engaged in people's lives. He did life with people. This is why we love our home groups so much, to do life in our home groups. And if you're not a part of a home group, you need to become a part of one, because these are your brothers and sisters who are willing to grow with you, who will hold you accountable and you hold them accountable. You will grow in His word together. You will be equipped together. But there is one pattern or principle, I should say, that Jesus did show. And this is what I want to share with you today. You turn to Luke chapter 10, beginning verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house,' shalom to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things and are set before you. Heal the sick there. Say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' And whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, you go into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than that for that city." Now, background, basic background. Here is Jesus talking to His 12 disciples. He gets 70 more people who committed. See, if we want to talk about a discipleship flow, you have His inner circle, then the rest of the church. But the rest of the church, these are the committed ones. Not the ones that come in and out, but the committed ones of His church. And the 70, He has trained and equipped along with His inner circle of 12 to go out. Why 70? 70 was considered the number of the Gentile nations. And you can read that in Matthew 10, and you can also see that in Genesis 10. So He was saying, "I'm sending you to the Gentiles," and He was making a point that they are meant to go out. See, people think Peter was the first one to reach the Gentiles, but Jesus sent them to the Gentile nations. Now, many received, many didn't. But Jesus sent his disciples to Gentile nations, foreign soil. In other words, they quit preaching to the choir and went out and to reach others. But he did something very important. See, he sent them two by two. Never alone. Why? Because where two or more are gathered, he's there. Two is community. You go out together as a community. You don't do things. There are no lone rangers in our faith. You go out together. Maybe one might be witnessing or ministering, the other one's praying. You work together. One will pick up something in the spirit that one may not. But you go out together in community in the presence of God with them and what they've been equipped with. So community is a big part of this. This is why our community is so important. This is not a church, but this is a family. We are a family of believers. And we need to rephrase our thinking, reframe it, that we are a family. Families, and we talked a lot about that when I spoke about our values and vision about family and what that all entails. But the second thing with this is it was intentional. He gave very specific orders or direction of what to do and what not to do. See, mission is intentional. And we're going to see that take place in a little bit. But what is the principle that Jesus kind of outlined here? I want to talk about three S's. First is spread. Verse 3 and 4, he says, a warning not to be distracted here. He says, greet no one in verse 3 and 4. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandals, and greet no one along the road. In other words, don't get caught up with other things. See, when we go, let's be honest. Most of us are afraid to talk to somebody about our faith. When we think, because we've got it in our minds, evangelism is a certain way, and outreach is a certain way. So, oh my gosh, I've got to talk to a stranger. Well, don't talk to a stranger. Become a friend and then talk to them. So you're talking to a friend. He's saying, don't get distracted with this other stuff or what the enemy has put in your path, whether it's fears or insecurities. And by the way, next week we're going to be starting a series on overcoming various fears, conquering fears. But don't let those things distract you. Stay focused on the mission at hand and how to do the mission. Keep it simple. Don't be distracted by this or doing that. Don't make it a to-do, but make it relational. You spread. He said, go greet no one. Go out there. What did Jesus do? He sent them. He sent them. And he says, greet no one. Go your way. Behold, I send you among wolves. Purposely going to where the unchurched are, crossing into enemy territory, outside the church safety net. Just go. Don't be afraid to make friends with your neighbors. See, a lot of the problem with Christians is we want to stay with our people. And we just want to keep preaching to the choir. And that's what programs trap us into. A person in your neighborhood is going to be less likely to come to a church than they are, and more likely to go to your home for a barbecue or go for a walk with you. Or you see them in the yard, you just approach them and just start talking to them about their yard. Make it simple. But go. He sent them out. Spread. But now, what happens after they go? They're to spot. Second S. Spread is the first one. Go out. Spread all over the Gentile nations. Second is spot. So, as we are going to school every day, when the school year starts, of course, when we are going to work every day, when we're doing stuff in the yard or walking around our neighborhood or going to some kind of community activity, whether it's a concert in the park or at Espresso Joe's for music or Canoeing Thursdays at Keyport, or whatever your town has going on. See, you're his ambassador. And what an ambassador represents, all the values, all the principles, all the doctrine, all the way, the rules, regulations, everything about the nation they represent. We represent the kingdom of God. Therefore, when we go as an ambassador, we go representing the kingdom of God. So we are taking the principles, the love, the presence, the purpose, the word of the Lord, that we're taking the kingdom of God where we go. We carry it right here. We carry his mind up here. We carry his spirit in everything we seep out of. So we're not going alone. See, Jesus sent them, and he is sending us, but he gave us his Holy Spirit to go with us. So he's equipped us to do this. But how much easier it is to just go and make a friend. We were in Texas, and my niece, who's turned 5 while we were there, it was funny. We went to a community pool. Wherever she goes, she'll find a friend and start talking to him. That's the childlike faith God's calling us to have. And some of us are more verbal than others, but you know what? You be smart. You find interests. You find things to talk about. You find ways to connect with them, but you still represent the kingdom of God. How you are in church needs to be how we are in the community in this. These 70 aren't changing anything. But what they're called to do is to spot. Verse 5 says, whatever house you enter, say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Well, what does that mean? To spot. As we spread, as we go out in our neighborhood, what does that mean to spot? It means see who's opening the door and inviting you in. The word we're using is leaning in. See who's leaning in. As you're talking to people, who have you connected with and are leaning into what you're doing and who you are relationally? See, what we talk about disciples making disciples, mentoring. As a person in this church, when I look for somebody to mentor, I want to see who is leaning in. I'm not going to say, I'm just going to pick the person in the back and I'm going to pour my heart in. I want to see who's willing to submit their heart to God and is willing to grow, whether it's initially curiosity or just feeling a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Who's willing to lean in? Who am I connecting with that, okay, I can bring them along? See, this is what Jesus did. He called his 12 disciples, said, come follow me. They leaned in, they followed me. But we also read stories of other people. He said, come follow me. He said, oh, let me bury my mom and dad. That person was not leaning in. Another person, just go sell your stuff and come follow me. That person walked away sad. They were not leaning in. Not everybody we talk to, not everybody we encounter will lean in. But pour your heart out to the ones that are. Stay wise. Jesus said to them, whoever opens their house and invites you in. See, this is important because to the Jew, hospitality is right up there. In the Old Testament, hospitality is is as great of a sin as anything. If you don't show hospitality to a fellow Jew. But they're going into Gentile nations. So they might enter a Jew's house, but there's always that possibility they might enter a Gentile home. Whoever opens the door, you walk in. Whoever's leaning in. Bible says there's no Jew or Gentile, no Greek, no free man or slave in Christ. It's all one. And unfortunately, in our society, we can add there's no black or white either right now in Christ Jesus. But whoever is leaning in, Open your heart and now begin to discipleship. Pour in. They're the ones that you invite to your home group and they actually come. Now you've got someone you can begin to build a relationship with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember the word fellowship. Biblically, its truest meaning is fellowshipping in, with, through the Holy Spirit. Not having a potluck luncheon and forgetting about God. That's not fellowship, and call it fellowship because it's a something we do as in a church building. Fellowship is in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So spot who's willing to lean in, who wants to serve, who's ready to give their heart over to the Lord, to submit or go to the next level in their relationship with God. Spot them. They're the ones you pour into. The worst thing that can happen is you, as the Bible says, cast your pearl before swine. You give your heart, you pour into someone who wasn't leaning in and didn't want anything to do with that. And I'll be the first to tell you how many mistakes I made early on in ministry with that. But are they willing to lean in? Are they willing to pour, to sacrifice, to submit? Are they have a desire to grow? See, you spread, you invite everybody. But you don't chase people down. That's the key. A lot of times in church, we think we have to chase people down. You know what? I spent more time my first 5 years of ministry in this church chasing after people on a weekly basis, and I look around and none of them remain. None of them stayed, not even after chasing after them initially. You pour your heart into them so much that you neglect the ones who are saying, I'm ready. So we don't chase people anymore. Presence of God is here. People want to grow. If they want to learn how to worship, if they want to study, if they want a family who's going to love on them, but be real with them and honest, because a family communicates, the good, the bad, the ugly. We hold each other accountable to the ways and standards of the Lord. This is the place. Because we want to grow together. We graft people into this family. But we're not going to chase. We spot who's leaning in. So as you are at work, as you are, you know, in your neighborhood, we're all doing barbecues at various times this year, having barbecues or going to barbecues. Test the water. You carry the presence of God with you. Go with that mindset. Test the waters. Feel it out. See who's leaning in as you talk, as you communicate. Invite them. See, this is the perfect time to do this because everybody shuts down in the wintertime and stay home. Everybody's out right now. This is the time to connect, to be active in the community. Kids, put down your you know, PlayStations and go out there and meet other people. Adults, put down your PlayStations and go out there. And go meet people. Spread, spot. Now, what's the next test? Stay. Stay. Verse 7 says, and remain in the house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things are set before you. Disciple who's leaning in. Mentor who's leaning in. Take him underneath your wing and grow them. Verse 9 says, by healing and declaring the kingdom of God. In other words, disciple them in the reality of the gospel and who God is in their lives. As Sarah mentioned earlier, who God is, who is our identity is in God. Who we are as sons and daughters of the living God. Our place, our position in Him. Disciple them in His Word. Disciple them how to receive His Spirit and be equipped in His presence so you can pour out. Why? So that they can make disciples. That's the point of this. You see, what did Paul do in the book of Acts and in the New Testament? He went from church to church, planting a church, but he never left a church till it had adequate leadership. He went to a city, He planted a church. He trained pastors. He trained deacons and deaconesses. He trained elders. He equipped them with not just the Word of God, but how to receive the Spirit of God and to move and to be able to act in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He equipped them, and he didn't leave. Paul would stay a year, 2-3 years in a church. Remember, he was a tent maker by trade. What did he do? He'd get to a city, start working as a tent maker to survive in the world, but also plant a church, develop, see who's leaning in. And in his case, it was usually somebody who opened their house, because all churches were not started in a building, but in somebody's upper room or living room or den or floor or backyard, outdoor backyard. Who was leaning in? And then he poured his heart into them. He poured the things of God into them. And then when they were adequately equipped, he said, okay, I'm leaving you now to plant another church, but I trust you, I'm trusting you to make disciples. As I taught you, remember in the New Testament, he says, impart, pass on, anoint. As I've trained you, train others. But you know what he also did? He came back as their mentor to check on them. Like he'll go somewhere else, do the same for a couple of years, a year or two, then come back on his way back home and check on the church he planted. How are they doing? What other mentoring and discipleship going on? That's how we need to be. You take someone under your wing, whoever it might be, whether it's someone within the church or within your neighborhood. And age doesn't matter. The amazing thing is, Tiffany and I have been noticing lately, is the Lord's leading us to connect with young people. But we're connecting with the youth and with the young adults for some reason. That seems to be where he has us this season. You know what? We're not going to fight it. We're going to run into it. As he's leading us, that's what we're going to do. If those are the ones leaning in, that's who we're going to pour into. And we're going to train them now to pour into someone else. That's our vision. That's our purpose. That's God's heart. And I'm not going to speak for anyone else. I will speak for our church. That's God's heart. This is what he wants us to do. Look around, see. See, character becomes important here. Integrity is important. Being at church, when someone you invited comes to see your face, they recognize it. See, they're leaning in. I'm inviting to church. They see me in church. They're leaning in. I invite them to church. They see me in church. They see me in the community. I'm the same person. I'm not perfect, but I'm the same person. I'm still the same one that gets on my knees in church before the Lord, seeks his grace for my mistakes, but receives the blessing and moves in his power as they see that same person on their knees before the Lord, receiving his grace for my mistakes, but moving and receiving his power to move on and overcome. There is no difference. My character is reflected. Whether I'm at Houlihan's or, you know, TGI Fridays or anywhere else, what they see is the man of God or the woman of God that they will see in church. There is no difference. My character remains the same. And if it's a 5-year-old or a 25-year-old or a 55-year-old, if they're leaning in, I'm mentoring them. You are never too young or too old to be a spiritual father or mother to somebody. Never. And one of my biggest challenges, and because of my struggles in the past with insecurities, if there was someone with a license of a pastor who was older than me, I felt intimidated. And the Lord, as he's been leading me into my identity in him, in sonship, and who I am as a son of God, has been showing me how that age doesn't matter. I can be a spiritual father no matter what their title is, no matter what their age is, and I can direct them at times as they direct me at times, guide me in the same way. Who is leaning in? You pour into. So spread, stay. You stay with them. You grow them. You minister. You love on them. Love of God is key here. And then what happens? You send. See, this is equipping and sending out. Therefore, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Verse 2. He's referring to the disciples he's sending out to go ahead and make more disciples to send out. He's not speaking to the choir and saying, hey, there's a lot of people that need to be saved out there, so it's you 70, it's your job to go ahead and save them all. Go into every Gentile nation. Don't come back till you've saved them all. It's not what he told them. They would have never seen his face again, in the, humanly speaking. He said, go. There's a lot of people who need the love of God, who need his heart, who need to be mentored and disciples. Go make a disciple and teach them how to make a disciple. Let them take that next step. Empower them. Bless them. Just like we prayed over Sarah and other people in the past as they step into a ministry. We're sending them into their destiny. We're blessing. We're anointing them. We saw, we spotted them. They leaned in. They're being equipped. The equipping process continues, but we're sending them as they continue to go forward. Whatever ministry it is, who's leaning in? Who can we disciple so that they can make disciples? See, an unhealthy church says, well, I am the worship leader, or I am the children's church coordinator. I'm not going to pour and teach them everything I know and encourage them to do anything because I don't want them to take my spot. Let me tell you something. There are more spots than you can ever imagine that need to be filled. And one of our visions is that God's going to be sending people out from here to minister as an equipping church. Equip here, send out now to minister in other churches. Maybe even plant other churches. Send them out as missionaries to plant and minister in other countries or other parts of the United States. We're not going to be so, I'm not giving up my spot. No. We want to grow. We want to grow. And we grow in here, in His Spirit and presence, and in the things that have for us. Pray for the Lord of the harvest. Send out the workers for there's so much out there. We as disciples are making disciples. That's what he's calling us to do. As a church, I want to encourage you. As we're kind of reaching almost the midway of the summer in terms of the heat and what we do, but we still have plenty of time. This is fresh oil has been poured on this body. That's what we felt coming back from vacation. A new start. A fresh oil. This is the day we begin to do and step into what God is leading us to step into. Not saying tracks are a bad thing, events are a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But see, it's about intentional relationships. It's about noticing somebody who might have asked me a question at work about something in church or might have come before me and said, hey, can you pray for me? Because I know you pray. I go back and say, hey, I prayed for you. How did that turn out? And see what you can do. It's intentional. You're not just throwing and hoping. It's intentional. I'm spreading. I'm going out. But I'm looking who is worthy of the time God's given me to spend with him. Who is worthy for me to pour into that God is calling me to worthy to do that. It's intentional. It's purpose-driven. How many people did I talk to this week? If I prayed and said, Lord, you, Lord of the harvest, today as I wake up, create an opportunity for somebody today for me to speak into. Help me to have your eyes to see whose heart is ready to lean in, that I can strike a conversation. Put the words in my mouth, because see, that's what God promised us. That's what Christ told his disciples not to worry about. God will give you the right words to say when the right time comes. Who am I doing this? Who am I spending my week discipling? Am I just going to meetings and watching TV and doing this or do that? Or am I blocking off a time for an intentional discipleship or mentoring session? You know what? Discipleship and mentoring could be going fishing with somebody. Taking a young person or someone under your wing. Say, hey, I'm going fishing today. You want to go with me? And you've got them now for several hours. And you can just love on them. You're not sitting there hitting them over the head with the Bible. You're sharing your heart. You're building relationships. We are all about relationships, friendships. That's all it is. It's friendships, growing together. How many people are we willing to do that? Or are we doing that even? I mean, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, make my life, make my week, make this day intentional for you. Let it be purpose-filled. And it's also going to be fun-filled. You don't know how many times I've sat with somebody I was discipling or mentoring, and all we did is play our guitars. And then just that opened up friendly conversation. Or go to Guitar Center with somebody. Drive together, spend a couple hours, talk about life, and the Lord is at it all because we're bringing them in. And I'm getting ready to close here, but one of the most fun things I do at my day job, working in a mental health facility, you know, I run groups and I do individual sessions, and they're great, and I've seen the Lord work mightily and still working mightily. But when you're doing that, you're still the authority figure. So sometimes people have a hard time letting their guard down before you. But one of my favorite things that I do 3 times a week that I've asked to do is cook in the kitchen, because we have a culinary group that cooks lunch for our clients. And I do it 3 times a week. And we have like 100 clients we cook for. And what I love about doing that, I mean, I love to cook anyway, but the fact is when I'm hanging out with the clients that I'm cooking with, their guard is completely down because we're just laughing, we're having fun, but you know what? I'm seeing the real them. I'm getting to know them as people. I'm getting to know their hearts, their struggles. And you know what? We talk about God because they know who I am. We talk about things. I'll say, hey, all right, I'll pray for you about that. And they'll come back and say, thank you for praying for me. And you know what? Things like that happen. It's not, well, today at 2 o'clock, I'm going to go evangelize my street. Now, not to say God can't do that and put that on your heart, but it doesn't have to be that way. Who is leaning in? Go out there. Be spread out. Spot who's leaning in. Stay a while with them. Go for coffee. Go for a movie in the park. Make it intentional. Invite them over if you're cooking burgers on the grill for a burger, if you see them outside. Get them a soda if they're hot and sweaty. And if they're leaning in, stay with them. Stay with them. And then train them as we train each other to go ahead and send out again. That's our vision. That's our heart. That's our purpose. I want to ask you to stand up with me right now. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Just come and bring a revelation of truth to us right now. We're asking right now for a vision of our purpose right now. Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you. Could be someone who has been leaning in and you never noticed it. Maybe you're the one that's meant to be under somebody and grow in a specific area or way. Maybe he's leading you to go out and start spreading more. Maybe he's calling you to make a disciple, to take a disciple. Holy Spirit, bring that revelation.